Canto 8, Chapter 12. Lord Shiva prays to see Mohini Murti, gets bewildered and restores. The son of Vyasa said, when he who rides the bull, Shiva, heard how Lord Hari had assumed the form of a woman in order to enchant the Danavas and had caused the Suras to drink the nectar, he mounted his bull and went, together with his goddess Uma, and surrounded by his associates, to the abode of Madhusudana, Vishnu, to see him. The Supreme Personality welcomed him cordially, with all due respect, and after Lord Bhava and Uma were comfortably seated, Shiva offered Lord Hari his obeisances and, with a smile, spoke the following words. Shri Mahadeva Shiva said, O God of Gods, O All-Pervading Lord and Master of the Universe, who are the Universe, for all forms of existence, you are the True Self, the Soul, and therefore you are the Supreme Controller. Of what exists in the beginning, in the middle, and the end of this creation, of the I and of the rest of the world of mine outside of it, you, my Lord, are the inexhaustible truth of Brahman, the Absolute Spirit, free from these differences. Those who are wise and free from personal objectives desire the supreme welfare, worship your lotus feet, and forsake their attachments in both respects concerning this life and the life hereafter. You, as the cosmic complete of eternal life beyond the influence of the basic qualities of nature, as the one free from grief who perpetually resides in bliss, are changeless and exist apart from all that exists, while you are everything that exists. You, as the cause of the rise and maintenance of this universe, are the self and master of all self-control, the independent soul all others depend on. You, the one present as both a temporal and an eternal manifestation, are yourself without that duality, because you in this world do not differ in your substance, just as gold does not differ from the gold in the different forms it may have. Out of ignorance, people have different notions about you, differences that are created by the basic qualities, whereas you do not depend on those physical inessentials. Some think of you as the Supreme Spirit. Some consider you to be Dharma. Some say that you are the original person, the Supreme Controller beyond cause and effect, while others think of you as the transcendence endowed with 9 potencies or Shaktis. Still others think of you as the independent and imperishable Supreme Personality. Neither me, nor the one endlessly living in the beyond Brahma, nor the sages headed by Marichi, really know him, you, who has created this universe, even though we know that we generated from goodness. And what to say about the Daityas and the other mortal beings, O Lord, whose hearts, constantly being bewildered by Maya, are moved by the lower motives of passion and ignorance. Just like the air that enters us is also present in the sky, you are involved and free at the same time and do, from your presence as the all-pervading one, know everything about the creation, maintenance and resolution of this world in its entirety, about the living beings and their endeavors, and about everything that moves and not moves. I have seen all kinds of avatars of you in various pastimes displaying your qualities. I, Shiva, would like to see the incarnation of you in which you assume the body of a woman. We have come here very eager to see with our own eyes the form of the incarnation that captivated the Daityas and fed the Suras with the nectar. Sri Shuka said, Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, thus being petitioned by the one holding the trident in his hand, smiled and gave Girisha, the man of the mountain, a reply of deep significance. The Supreme Lord said, in the interest of the Suras, I deemed it necessary to bewilder the Daityas who had taken away the vessel filled with nectar and assumed thereto the form of a beautiful woman. I shall now, O best of the enlightened souls, show you, who long to see it, this object of adoration so greatly appreciated by those who are led by lust. Sri Shuka continued, "Having said this, Lord Vishnu immediately disappeared from the sight of his company, leaving Shiva and Uma with their eyes spying everywhere. Thereupon, they saw, on a nice spot in the forest, a delightful woman who, wearing a shining sari with a belt around her hips, in the midst of pink-leaved trees and all sorts of flowers, was engaged in playing with a ball. As she bounced the ball, her beautiful breasts and her garlands vibrated along, waving over her slender waist, with every step she made here and there with her feet that were as red as coral. Her eyes anxiously followed the ball that was restlessly moving in all directions. She had glittering earrings on her ears and gleaming bluish hair that decorated the cheeks of her radiating face. Striking the ball with her right hand, her hair slackened, while she with her left hand charmingly tried to keep her loosening sari together. The spiritual potency of the Lord thus captivated everyone in the universe. Seeing her thus playing with the ball and sending a hardly noticeable bashful smile, the god was bedazzled by the glances of the ravishing beauty. Under her spell, not being able to keep his eyes off her, he could no longer think of himself nor of the nearby Uma or his associates. One moment, the ball jumped far away from her hand, and so she followed it. Directly before the eagerly following eyes of Shiva, the fine dress and belt blew away that covered the woman. He saw before him the complete of her well-formed glory so pleasing to the eye. When she gave him a look, Shiva thought she would fancy him. Perturbed because of her actions and smiles, he, bereft of good sense, shamelessly went after her, despite the fact that Bhavani witnessed what happened. The completely naked woman saw him coming and, most embarrassed, with a smile, ran here and there to hide behind the trees. Lord Shiva, Bhava, distracted by his senses, fell victim to lust like he was a male elephant going for a she-elephant. Speeding after her, he caught her by the braid of her hair and pulled her close against her will in order to embrace her. She, the she-elephant, with her hair scattered, being captured by him, the bull that was the Lord's devotee, squirming like a snake, managed to free herself, O king. Having escaped from the tight grip of the Lord of the Demigods, she ran quickly away with her heavy hips, so expressively exhibiting the illusory potency of the Lord. Like being haunted by the devil, Rudra, in the grip of lust, engaged in the pursuit of him whose acts so wondrously were taking place in front of him. Chasing her like a mad bull going for a female, the semen was discharged of him who never spills his semen in vain. Each and every place where his semen fell on the earth, O great ruler, those places became mines for silver and gold. At the shores of rivers and lakes, in the mountains and in the forests, in the gardens and wherever the sages were living, Lord Shiva was present. With his semen discharged, he, O best of kings, understood that he personally had been fooled by the illusory potency of the Lord, and therefore he refrained from chasing the illusion any longer. Thus convinced of his own greatness and the greatness of the soul of the universe, who is of an unlimited potency, he did not consider what had happened that surprising. Seeing that he was not perturbed or ashamed about it, Madhusudana, very pleased with it, assumed his male form again and spoke. The Supreme Lord said, "I wish you all good fortune, O best of the demigods. With me appearing as a woman, you were spontaneously enchanted by my external potency, yet you remain firmly fixed in yourself. Once being drawn by the senses, who else but you would be able to surmount my Maya? Those who are unable to control their senses have great difficulty to overcome the material reactions overwhelming them. The moment one, living with the time and all its different elements, is joined with me in the form of eternal time, or the pure time spirit, that illusory energy of the modes of nature, the goddess Durga in some, will no longer be able to bewilder you. Sri Shuka said, thus complimented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the Sri Vatsa mark on his chest, O King, Shiva, circumambulating him, took leave of him and, together with his associates, turned back to his abode. O descendant of Bharata, the mighty Lord Bhava, then in jubilation, addressed his wife Bhavani, who by the sages is accepted as an integral part of the illusory potency of the Lord. Oh, did you see how I myself, against my will, despite being the best of all his portions, got bewildered by her, the illusory energy of the unborn supreme person of the demigods? Do I have to speak of others, then, who totally depend on the material illusion? When I ceased with a yoga practice that took 1,000 years, I was approached by you to inquire after him upon whom I was meditating. He indeed is the one who is now personally present here as the original personality beyond the grasp of the Vedas and the grip of time. Sri Shuka concluded, I thus spoke to you, my best one, about the prowess of Sharanga Dhanva, Vishnu with his bow, who as Kurma held the great mountain on his back for churning the ocean. Whoever recites this or listens to this story will never be disappointed in his endeavor, because the description of the qualities of Uttama Shloka, the one praised in the scriptures, puts an end to the misery of one's material existence. For him who is not understood by the godless ones, for the feet that are known by the devotees of surrender, for the one who only allowed the immortals to drink from the nectar that was produced from the ocean, for him who, appearing in the disguise of a young girl, captivated the enemies of the gods, for him who fulfills the desires of the devotees, I bow myself down.